PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Episode, guys. Woo! That one was for Drew and Drew alone. Only for Drew. Woo! Only Drew knows.
That Rick Flair drip, Chris. You got that Rick Flair drip.
That Rick Flair drip.
It goes woo on a beat.
That's a pretty good song.
It's hot. It's a pretty good song. It's hot, man. The more I listen to Migos and their associated acts, the more I like it.
Yeah, Migos, voice of a generation. Donald Glover's not joking.
It's pretty good stuff.
Oh, whoa.
Boo is right.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're doing a spoiler bonus episode. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. With me, as always, is Drew Sikagwern.
That's about right.
It's a non-racist one, so.
Yep.
Not racist. It was Chris Rock. Black Panther. We're going to talk about Black Panther. That's what it says in the title. There's no reason to draw this out.
Just to recap, it's not racist. It's Chris Rock, Black Panther.
Black Panther. We're here to talk about Black Panther. We saw Black Panther. Let's review Black Panther, Drew. First, it started with some... Hamon Serrano
and some no, that was
Manchego
afterwards.
Cheese.
That was afterwards. Oh. That was dinner afterwards.
Oh, man, I'm full. That was so good.
It was delicious. But no, Black Panther, dude.
Shout out to Booyah Winter Park sponsoring this episode.
Black Panther, that fucking hotness, dude.
Man, that was a good movie.
It was.
Good movie.
That Black Panther. Not only was it action-packed,
mm-hmm.
because it was.
Yeah,
I mean, it was a little formulaic, if you will.
Yes, which we will, yes, we will talk about.
If you will, but...
Absolutely.
But even with said formula in place,
mm-hmm.
It hit some pretty high notes.
There was, yes, a big ambition with this movie. It wanted to do a lot, and it achieved most of it, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, yes. Very, very, yes. Overall, very well-made movie.
For it being a Marvel comic book movie,
mm-hmm.
it is definitely that, but it, like you said, it strove to be something more, and I think, like,
it's the second Marvel movie in a row about family birthright for power.
Yeah.
And positions on colonialism. In Thor Ragnarok, the bad guy wanted to continue colonialism.
Yes.
In this movie, the bad guy wanted to fight
colonialism with the new colonialism. Yeah, with colonialism.
With that new Wakanda.
Mm-hmm.
With that new Wakanda. If Professor X and Magneto...
Well, no,
if they were Malcolm X and...
It's Professor X, Magneto. It's Malcolm and Martin. It's...
I think this one is more Woodrow Wilson, Teddy Roosevelt. Hear me now. Woodrow Wilson was an isolationist.
Mm-hmm, yes.
World War One was raging on. He was like, we got the Atlantic on one side, the Pacific on the other. What are they gonna do? They can't bother us. Teddy Roosevelt was like, send me there. I will go over there and I will kick the Kaiser's ass myself.
Yeah.
He wanted to take the fight to them. One wanted to be proactive in the action, and one wanted to be an isolationist. One wanted to take the American power and provide it to the rest of the world to then be the world police in a way.
Yeah.
And the other one would be like, nope, that's not our position. We just have to take care of our own. Interesting how the movie then ends up siding with the... So the movie is...
Of sorts.
So it...
Not, I mean... Yes, it does side with not necessarily the isolation, with definitely the expansion, but it's definitely more of a conservative,
approach. A conservative expansion of
to
outreach.
As opposed to, you know, with Michael B. Jordan fucking sending out all the weapons and he wants to start a fucking insurrection and basically have the black people rise and take over the goddamn world.
Which...
they totally could do.
Which I don't.
With given the resources, they totally could do.
I don't want to. I don't want to sound like a broken record. But I think I'm hashtag Team Killmonger. If you think the oppressed should rise up and overthrow the, let's be honest, the white man, and you're with me, then hashtag Team Killmonger on Twitter at Crespo. So if you are with T'Challa, Black Panther. He's all about peace. Yeah. Then, you know, hashtag bootlicker.
Damn, Chris. I'm glad you're not more physically capable, or you might be a militant motherfucker.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
I'm still working on that cardio. I can do a 10-minute mile, but...
it's rough.
That 10 minutes is my max. Then I'm done. Then I'm done at the.
It's
10.
Over for the day. Then you know the entire day is
so
over.
So if anyone can run 11 minutes at the same pace, I'm done.
Yeah.
All right. So the movie starts with the 3D animation of Black Panther explaining the history of Wakanda.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, the alternative to having... here's a whole bunch of text. Whenever a movie starts with a lot of exposition, mm-hmm. having to explain a bunch of things, you're already starting at a deficit, I think. I feel like if you're starting your movie having to inform your audience of all of this backstory that you don't have either time to show them or you can't show them, you got to do it in such a compressed way. I really feel like you're already... like you're behind the eight ball on that one. And it's handled pretty well. For an example of it being bad, out Green Lantern. Remember the intro to Green Lantern?
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, unfortunately, you know, in these, you know, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, they don't have the luxury of slowly introducing characters and their background and their storylines. You know, they just kind of have to, like you said, just kind of throw it up and... boom.
And even,
one quick thing.
And even then, they did have to introduce Black Panther in Captain America's Civil War.
Yeah.
Which, you know, now seeing this movie makes me want to go back and watch Civil War. I feel like having seen this movie now gives his scenes in Civil War
a little more gravity.
Which it shouldn't work that way, but unfortunately in this case it does. Ryan Coogler, I read an interview with him where he was like, someone asked him, what's it like to, you know, you're working with Black Panther, you're making this movie, but you're doing something that was set up by the Russo brothers in Civil War, and then they're picking it up again with Avengers. How do you feel about that? And he's like, the biggest, I forgot the exact word, I think maybe he said alley-oop. Like, the biggest alley-oop he got was the Russos casting Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah, no shit.
As Black Panther.
Like, I already got this guy, so.
Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah, like, this is your guy, this is the man. All right, thank you.
Thanks.
James Brown, you got James Brown?
Oh yeah, and of course Cougar brought in Mr. B. Jordan.
Yeah, dude.
Homies for life.
He's so good. The whole cast was so good.
Oh dude.
Can you pull it up actually? Because there's some names.
Yeah. No, seriously, the cast was off the chain. You know one of my favorite parts of the entire movie was, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
All of the very angry, bald black ladies with spears.
All the Grace Jones looking motherfuckers.
Holy shit.
They're all awesome.
Oh, so scary.
Who was the one who played the general?
Oh yeah, I've seen her around.
When she had a thing. When she had a wig on, she looked like
what's her face?
Viola Davis.
Yes,
with a wig on, she looked like Viola Davis. It was weird, but she was awesome. That general, that badass. I like how Black Panther he has surrounded himself with. A bunch of smart, strong women. All his guards are women. His generals are women.
Well, I think that's
his Q is a sister.
I think that's a Wakanda thing.
Wakandan culture.
Yeah. Because every single one of the guards, like the quote unquote, like royal guard.
Yeah.
All women.
All women.
Every single one. Not a single man in the group.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the head priest was a man, but all of his surrogates, all women.
Except amongst the mountain tribe.
Yeah, mountain tribe seems to be a bunch of dudes.
Bunch of dudes, bunch of aggro dudes. Mm-hmm. Who like to hoo, hoo, hoo.
No, exactly. Which yeah.
Which is cute. It was funny. We'll talk more about those guys. M'Baka. Is it M'Baka or M'Buku?
Denai Gurira is her name.
The actress's name?
Yeah.
Denai. Okay. Denai Gurira. I want to remember that. She was great.
Yeah. She
was great. Lupita Nyong'o was the spy. Who was the love interest for Black Panther.
Mm-hmm. I almost didn't recognize her because she's older now.
Really?
Yeah.
Compared to what?
12 Years a Slave?
12 Years a Slave. Right? I guess it's been... How many years has it been since 12 Years a Slave? It's only been a few years.
I guarantee... Yeah, but I mean, this movie was only recently filmed. I mean, 12 Years a Slave even came out.
It's true. That's true. Angela Bassett was the Queen Mother.
Yep, which she was.
Fantastic casting. Yeah. That's great. Mm-hmm. I mean, if she wasn't available, you got Vivica A. Fox, but hey, at least we got Angela Bassett in there. Radiating brilliance. Whoever played the sister was great. Shuri, that was a fun role. She was like the Q.
Yeah, she's
awesome. She was the inventor, and she was like, she brought a lot of fun to it. She got a lot of the funny lines. That's a big
Letitia
thing.
Letitia Wright.
She got a good amount of the comedic lines. Mm-hmm. A lot of the comedic relief. A decent amount of comedy in this movie, which with these Marvel movies, I think now Thor shows, comedy goes a long way.
I love how in this movie, instead of the token black guys, we got the token white guys.
We got literally J.R.R. Tolkien white guys.
Yes. Yeah.
Bilbo Baggins and Gollum.
Yep.
I saw that meme.
Back together again.
I saw the meme. Yeah. The token white guys.
Token white guys.
They killed one of them.
Yeah. Killed one of them.
Martin Freeman's still alive.
Yep.
I did mention this is the spoiler bonus episode,
right? Yeah.
Clearly, the top spoiler bonus episode.
Not only has a laser shooting... some sort of cannon.
The like cannon laser arm. Cannon. The crazy concussion. Concussion cannon arm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was fun.
That was nuts.
I liked his the robot arm. They could have done more with that.
I can't believe how fucking buff he was. Holy shit.
Andy Serkis?
Yeah. He got fucking jacked.
I think he's probably always a pretty in shape dude. The physical acting he has to do for all his motion capture stuff is very demanding. So
I get it.
It would make sense to keep in shape.
But you give him that fucking high and tight haircut and a fucking tattoo on the back of his skull, and it's like, oh, goddamn.
Like, damn, he looks ex-military.
No, exactly.
Like, oh, man, maybe it was New Zealand military. Do they have a military in New Zealand?
Maybe.
It's like the Boy Scouts. Shout out to our New Zealand listeners. How you doing, Bruce? So it starts with that 3D intro, and I thought it was like, during that intro, for a second, I was like, should we have seen this in 3D?
After that, though, as the action went through, I'm really glad I didn't, because I think it would have distracted.
Now that you said that, yes, for sure, with the action, irony being how much I like this movie, the weakest part may have been some of the action scenes.
I'm okay with that.
They were okay enough, like, they were fine, but some of them were, like, kind of, like, the jungle scene when they show in the trailers, where he stops those like the Boko Haram type people.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that was a really underlit scene. Like, it was hard to see.
Well, I think that maybe that was the point of it, though. Because he's the Black Panther. Like, this is what it's like dealing with this dude.
Yeah.
On his turf.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you're in the jungle, you're going around, next thing you know, your freaking car dies, and you see nothing but blackness, you're shooting it squat, and everybody's dead.
Yeah. Okay, I can see it for that. But then... But even later, like, so the scene where they go to South Korea, because they want to get Andy Serkis' buff with Claw, they want to get his character, the South African arms dealer, and he's going to do a deal in South Korea, and that's how they catch up with Martin Freeman's character, right? Like, that whole scene, it was good scene, it was fine enough, and there were, like, some inspiration sort of from the Kingsman church fight sequence, right? And also a little bit of like, there's a moment when, what's her name? See, I already forgot her name. Denarius? The one who's the general?
Denai.
She takes a dude and like throws him off a balcony and then like jumps off the balcony.
All that,
and the camera follows her
all
down.
All that shit with her and that spear and that fucking flowing red dress was pretty batshit insane.
Yeah, all of that. All that was great, right? That made me think of like Tony Jaa type stuff, you know? And I was like, man, if like Coogler. I see what Coogler wants to do. If we could team him up with like somebody
Keanu's
who
knows how to do some real action.
Yeah, like Keanu's guys or Tony Jaa's people, like some Thai crew and action crew. People have been around the block. That can teach him some stuff that he can, because he's a young dude, Ryan Coogler.
Exactly. He's still learning.
He's younger than both of us. And
this is what, his third movie?
His third movie. His second big one. Third movie. His first movie, Fruitvale Station, is like, you know.
All Michael B. Jordan involved.
All Michael B. Jordan. That's his muse, man. I love it when that happens. It's fun seeing an artist relationship like that. You know what? Yeah, it's his third movie, and all three have been great. Like, Fruitvale Station, I walked out of that theater. I left a room full of people that were like only sobbing.
Oh my god!
That movie affected that room full of old privileged white people. Like they're like, those poor blacks in Oakland. Let's go to Mitchell's Fish Market and drown our sorrows in the tinklings of a piano in the cool Orlando nights. Like, seriously, that affected a lot of people in that room. And then Creed was like, I saw that movie twice in theaters and both times. By the fight scene at the end, like, people are into that movie.
Oh, yeah.
It was incredible.
Well, and the boxing filming in that is fucking top. Like, I want somehow every single boxing match to be filmed like that for all time.
Filmed and presented that way.
That is the way boxing is meant to be seen.
Yeah.
That is the truth and the light, Chris.
And then, I was maybe hoping a little more than from the action, but he did. It was still like ambitious action scenes.
Yeah.
But we've talked about this before. We are now in a post-John Wick, post-The Raid world. Mm-hmm. You're going to come at us with the action. You have to like really, really, really bring it. And none of the Marvel movies have ever been known for their action.
That's not their bread. They're kids' movies, Chris.
They are kids' movies, yes, 100%. And they're not expecting
people straight up died in this movie. Motherfuckers got ran over by cars.
That was a little shocking. Someone got run over by a car, and then they threw another car like into a street. Like, there could have been people over there.
Yeah,
a
chick got her throat slit, and not an ounce of blood was dripped.
There's no scar, no, obviously, because it's PG-13. Yes, okay. So, drawbacks. When we talk about movies that are bad, I like to try to pick out the few things that I like about it. I do like this movie quite a bit. Let's pick apart the few things that I don't like and then slather praise on it for the rest of the episode. Yes, it's doing that thing. Talked about on the show before. PG-13 action movie meant for families and kids. Crazy action. Lots of gun action. People getting shot. People getting killed. Andy Serkis gets shot by Killmonger. Our hero Black Panther stabs him
a couple of times.
He straight up stabs Killmonger, and it's the fatal blow
in the sternum.
In the sternum, right? And then he pulls it out, knowing that this is gonna release the blood flow. Whatever is being stopped, I'm gonna die here. There is much death in this movie, both explicit and implicit implied. What's up with that?
Well, a lot of people died.
That's irresponsible. I just think these kind of...
Straight up.
I do think these kind of things are irresponsible.
If...
Media is a virus.
If you are going to portray people dying, you need to do it in a...
There needs to be consequences.
Yes, exactly. There needs to be, you need to see the blood because that's the way it works.
Even if it's cartoonish Kill Bill, he cut off someone's arm.
And it's a fountain of blood for literally 5 minutes where that's like... It's gallons. Like, that person would have dropped dead days ago.
Yeah, like 10 people's worth of blood squirts out of her stuff. And then she hits the ground. And then go back and watch Kill Bill if you think I'm exaggerating. She hits the ground. And then rolls back and forth, screaming, oh, like back and forth in her
still
own blood.
Still gallons of blood.
While blood is just spurting. Yes, I'd rather see that, which is absurd and ridiculous and cartoonish, over the Dark Knight movies do this, especially The Dark Knight Rises. People walk into, like, a bunch of cops are having a shootout in an alleyway, or people walk into a room and they spray down a bunch of people with a machine gun and they all just hit the ground, they're dead. Like, what? Like, this is kind of irresponsible. It's a Batman movie.
No.
Right? They didn't do this in the Batman cartoons. Did they? They did some Tommy Gunning.
It
was set in the 50s, though.
Oh, yeah, plenty of Tommy Gunning.
It was less efficient, the Tommy Gun.
Yeah.
They should bring back the Tommy Gun.
They should.
Right? I mean, why not? Let's just go all out. We're massacring children left and right, and no one really cares, so it's just...
Yeah. I mean, why not? Get a drum magazine and an automatic rifle.
You know, there are more guns in America now than there ever have been, but there are fewer gun owners than there have been in, like, decades.
So they start stockpiling them?
They're stockpiling. Awesome. We're being held hostage.
Good for them.
Yeah. Isn't that? The Black Panther political debates are interesting because I have the feeling like there's so many things they want to wade into, but then they don't get that deep into them.
Oh, it's still a Marvel movie.
It's still a Disney project. They're still trying to appeal to a lot of... they want to make their a wide base.
Well, here's the thing.
As wide as possible.
I think, like you said, they were going for some certain things. Mm. I think, like you said, like we both said previously, you know, they achieved most of them.
I think so.
Well, wait for Black Panther 2. Maybe Black Panther 2 will deal with some more of these issues.
You start small.
Yeah.
You can't... And this is still pretty big.
Well, no, exactly.
Still pretty big. But the biggest budget, like, Afrocentric Hollywood blockbuster movie ever.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Right? Yeah. And it's going to make a shit ton of money, and everyone's going to be woke as fuck afterwards.
I hope so.
Semi-woke.
Slightly woker. I don't think it's going to make people that much more woke. That's the thing. There's still plenty of racists who, like, back in the day, listen to Sammy Davis Jr. Or, you know, who watch sports now, right? So there's going to be Trump supporters who, like, probably saw Black Panther and...
Probably like it.
And or, like, they side with Daniel Kaluuya's character when he's like, I mean, yeah, we can send out some aid, but let's keep our borders shut down and keep the refugees from coming in. They're going to bring their problems with them. Like, yeah. He was, like, literally saying this stuff. I'm like...
Everybody thinks that, Chris.
Where's his Trump at? He's like, build a wall. Build... Lock her up. Lock her up.
Yeah, I mean, he led the rebellion, Chris.
And then he ended up leading the rebellion. Well, no, he was a part of the rebellion.
The small rebellion.
It was a very small rebellion. But then he was also part of what shut it down.
He was one that stopped. His love.
His love was like, I will kill you for my country. And then he looked and saw all the Wakandans fighting amongst themselves. Like, this is the last thing we need. So he dropped his weapon. But then she's like the general, back to general. She's a badass, but a loyalist. Okay.
Oh, 100%. 100% loyalist. She served the crown.
She serves the crown.
The crown overall.
Crown and throne overall. Country overall, which means when a usurper takes the crown through proper process, which Eric did, which is funny. We'll talk about that in a second. She was like, my heart's with you, but I gotta serve this dude. I gotta do his bidding. And then she got the loophole later when she was like, oh shit, he's still alive.
Yep.
Challenge still on. No,
challenge is on. You say no. We got the old king back.
We got the old king back. I'm serving him. Yep. He's my king. That and also when he's like staring down her love, and then he's like, "You'll kill me." And it's like, "Yeah, in a heartbeat, I will kill you."
No.
There's a point where love is stronger than between a person. Love between two people.
Not for her.
Is stronger. It should be stronger. Not for her. It isn't. But it should be stronger. The sense of duty. Is what it is. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's that patriotism that scares me.
Mm-hmm.
That nationalism. Strong
nationalism.
Wakandan nationalism could lead to some problems.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it almost did. She was about to...
What are you talking about? It did. It led to the entire movie of the Black Panther.
The whole movie is about the struggle between nationalism and patriotism, but then being open to others and outsiders. The whole movie is about what is an outsider, and it's fantastic that it's done in a way that it's like almost exclusively black faces. The only two white dudes are the Tolkien white guys, and then it's all black people. But it's like we're still have our own cliques and tribes, and I mean in the opening, like, the five tribes that settled Wakanda.
Exactly. Yeah, they all fought for eons until the first Black Panther.
Daniel Kaluuya, the first one. I was like, I get it. I got you guys. All right, we're good to go. Daniel Kaluuya was really good.
Oh, yeah.
He was really good. He does this thing so I've seen him in Get Out and this, and then I know he was in Black Mirror, but it was the one we're drawing the cubes, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I can't remember that one too well. But between this and Get Out, he does a lot of where he's standing. He does the Ryan Gosling. There's a name for this technique. I gotta look it up.
Ryan Gosling?
No, it's not the Gosling. There's the name for this technique that Gosling does, and Kaluuya does it too, where other things are happening, and then he just stands there and looks at you. Yes. And he has a very specific look. It's head up. You just did it, head up. He's kind of looking down a little bit, eyes like half closed. And then maybe he'll say a line of dialogue. And he's like, what's he thinking? What's this guy thinking? Smart. It's good. It's what's in vogue.
It works.
Yeah. It's what's in vogue. It works. It's working. He was really good, and I liked the whole that whole, like, when they set up, first they had to set up the first time for it to make sense for Eric later, the whole ritual of when the king is dead, here comes the new king, it's challenge day, you know, does any tribe
want peace?
And then, you know, like, that one dude stepped forward with his swords, and I was like, oh shit, here we go, and then that lady was like, nah, we're good.
Yep.
And then it went through all the tribes, like, no, we're all good.
We're all good.
Except the mountain people come down.
Yeah, he's like, motherfucker, I want a peace.
Mm-hmm. I like that mask, that man ape mask.
All of the masks. The panther mask was awesome. Ape mask was awesome. Mm-hmm.
The one Michael B. Jordan stole
from the museum was fucking off the chain.
Yeah. All the styles, everything about it.
It was very African.
I'm going to say this on episode 267 again, because this is a point that needs to be made often. Halfway through the movie, because of stuff like that, because of the mask and the clothing and the music, they got Ludwig Göransson is the same guy who did the score for Creed,
mm-hmm.
but he did the score for this one, and obviously using a lot of African stuff in there, African beats and music. Halfway through the movie, I'm like, I'm just mad that we've gotten this long
without something like this.
All these great black artists, black voices out there, how come we're not getting more stuff? Like, this is so good.
Yeah.
And then people are going to act like this is some sort of anomaly.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh my God, look, black people can make a movie too.
Well, there's going to be a lot of pushback because it is very black and woman heavy.
It is very female heavy, and it is very African. So yes, that's going
to
push a lot.
But I think that has a lot to do
with
white
male buttons.
I think that has just to do with the African culture in general. You know,
yeah.
there are a lot of strong black women, Chris.
Yes, absolutely. There has to be, especially in America, which are Ryan Coogler and the producers and writers are all American.
Yeah.
They're coming from communities ravaged by a criminal justice system that rips away the fathers, streets that have been flooded with guns that then are killing the other fathers, and then when there are no fathers left, then we're making fun of the kids for not having dads, and for them being single moms. And it's a fucked up system. Yeah. It's really shitty. It's really shitty. So yeah, it's really cool then to see that you're right. Exactly. That is how it's then reflected.
Yeah.
In a Disney blockbuster, which is pretty incredible. And we need more. There should be more movies like this. We should have been getting movies like this for years. This should not be an event.
No.
In 2018. This should be
the norm.
Yes. Yes, this should be, like, all had by now.
I should be getting one of these like every 2 months.
Every 2 months, we should get like this. We need how come Tony Jaa doesn't have his whole series of movies here already?
You know,
all sorts of voices and cultures.
Why can't I get Black Blade Runner Wakanda?
Why not? Let's give Ryan Coogler the next. Really, Scott wants to keep making Blade Runner movies. I don't want any more.
Give it to Ryan Coogler. Give him one.
I'm in. I'm watching that one.
Hell yeah.
Let's see what is fucked up.
Michael B. Jordan is Blade Runner.
Yes. Guys, do it. Blade Runner 2099. I'm into that one. Yeah, exactly. Give Ava DuVernay a Star Wars movie. We need more Spanish voices out there. We need more all of it. We need more LGBTQ. It's so many letters, guys. Why can't we just stick with gay? Gay doesn't cover everything. It really doesn't. It doesn't.
To some people, it's offensive.
Technically, it doesn't. No. But just so many letters, guys. I just want to be all inclusive.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K.
Yeah, what am I going to... Yeah, I'm just going to be saying the letter, the alphabet here. We should be talking more about Black Panther. Everyone was so good. It was great. I mean, the only things I don't like about it were... Okay, so...
Did we talk about the fighting rhinos?
The war rhinos were amazing.
Surprise war rhinos.
I was like, what?
A cape, charging on a rhino.
Yeah. That was like...
That stops immediately and licks a woman's face.
That was cute. The general.
Because it's her.
That was cute.
Because they're lovers.
There are a lot of cute little scenes. And like I said, there's a decent amount of comedy to keep the movie humming along just right. I didn't like how... Okay, so speaking of conventions and tropes and how there are some things that are very formulaic.
Oh, wow. You mean like the second fight where that Black Panther had to lose? Because if not, the movie ends?
Yes, so they established the first the ritual. M'Baka comes out with that crazy mask. And they have that awesome fight where he has the anti-herb that takes away his powers.
Yeah, and then he's getting back.
And then they I liked how they were on the edge of a waterfall and they were in that semicircle with the spears. I was getting tighter on them. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is like... All right, so watching that fight, I was like, I know Black Panther's going to win. This movie's not about him.
It's still tense.
But it was still tense. And like as the circle was closing, I was like, oh shit, this is... Like, I was into it. And then when Eric shows up the second time around, his whole lineage is explained, and he's like, I challenge, you know, for my natural birthright. No. I was like, there's Black Panther ain't winning this fight.
No, there is no way he can.
Movie's over. Hour and 15 minutes in, the movie's over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can't end it there. So, like, just like that, so Eric throws him off the waterfall.
Everyone's like, oh no, he's dead!
Everyone's like, no! I forgot I had that set up. And they go to M'Baka, mm-hmm. Manape, and they're like, they have the last bit of a heart-shaped herb.
Before Homeboy torches them all. He's like, yo, fuck that shit, I want it all torched.
He's like, torch it all. Like, give me the one and then torch the rest. Yep. Like, why are you going to do that, man? Just put it in your pocket.
Burn it.
Just save it.
Burn it all.
It's good stuff.
Why? Because I need the camera to show me from the back with all this fire around me so I look awesome.
It was amazing.
It's the most ball of shit ever.
It was a pretty good shot.
It was.
It's like I'm an Amigos video.
Exactly.
They go to him, and he's like, here, come with me. Like, you're like, can you at least help us out? And he's like, here, come with me. I got him. Show that he's still alive.
Barely.
Right? Barely. Give him the herb. He comes back so that he can lead the final fight, the last 30 minutes.
So he can go on his fucking DMT trip to psychedelic Africa and talk to his father.
I enjoyed those. I enjoyed those ancestral plane visits that both him and Eric went on. Yeah. I thought they were very, very well done. I was like, oh, this is very emotional. It's the same thing Coogler did with Creed, though, with the... anyway. So he shows himself to be an ally, and that look, I got your boy, we saved him, he can take the herb, he can fight for a throne, etc., etc. But then later he's like, hey, let me get your army. He's like, no, we're not helping you out. He's like, come on.
He's like, nah.
And he's like, no,
we're vegetarian, by the way,
we're vegetarian. That's cute. That's a funny joke. They cut to him going to battle.
Yep.
You know when he's like, no, we're not going to help you out.
You know they show up.
It's like, dude, we've seen Star Wars.
Yeah,
we've all seen Star Wars. We know how this works. They show the trailer for Solo before his movie. We know Han Solo. He's going to pull Han Solo.
Yeah.
He's like, I ain't, good luck, kid.
Good luck. I'll be there.
I'll be there just exactly when you need me. I'll be there. And sure enough, it doesn't help, too, that it's in the trailer. TV show. It's like, oh, that's a shot from the trailer that they're leading up to. So there are like little conventions and story conventions and tropes that if you've seen enough movies, you know where this thing is going.
Yeah.
For the most part, you get it. That being said,
still fun.
Still fun. They told that story in a great way.
And Chris, surprisingly enough, I wasn't pissed off about the CG Black Panther suits.
Yeah, you know what? It wasn't too terrible. It made sense the way they set it up.
Yeah.
It was like, we had a couple prototypes of Trinity. Like, I like this one. Oh, shit. Well, I've got another one just laying around. Oops.
Exactly.
I should have locked it up. Should have put it in the safe. I didn't do that. Well, by that point, he was the official king anyway. It was his.
Mm-hmm. To wear.
The dope gold one.
It's gangster.
It was pretty cool looking.
Had the teeth.
I did like the more understated one, though. It didn't have the teeth. Yeah, it wasn't terrible. I was hoping for like better suit. If they were doing similar suit, I was hoping for his was gonna be better somehow, and it wasn't. They were just the same. And then also a similar thing with the dropping of hints, just like in The Hunt for Red October when you see the chef's knife and all that.
Yeah.
The when she's like, oh look, I came up with this whole thing for this train that shuts down, makes it deactivates the vibranium. Like, why would he go through this whole bit of dialogue to explain it all?
So you can fight at the end.
So I can do it later with the suits. Oh, I get it. You know, it's all stuff like that. But those are little nitpicks. Those are dumb little nitpicks. There's nothing overall, there's nothing that I would like change or alter.
No, movie's fine the way it is.
I really enjoyed it. Looking forward to...
That's just me being a dick about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like what could I hate about it? What, not even hate. What could I be like, meh? You know, but still, I was totally into it the whole time.
Yeah.
It was great. Were there any scenes that like stood out for you, or trying to think of like what was your favorite Black Panther scene? The War Rhino was the biggest surprise when it just came out of nowhere. Like, what?
Yeah, I know the War Rhino.
It's like, oh, yeah, they were farming rhinos. I guess they have armor for it.
I mean, in all reality,
I like they gave Martin Freeman something to do.
The first time you go to the astral plane where he's walking up to the tree with the panthers in it.
That was a cool shot.
That reminded me of, that was the only scene where I was like, Thor Ragnarok?
Oh, sure.
Because it was just, it was big and so wide.
There was that when he's, the wide shot of him walking up to the tree. And then later, towards the end when they're fighting, when there's like the ship is in the sky and it's shooting at him and it's a wide shot. There's only a small handful of these really wide epic shots.
Where it looks like a comic book cover.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. I feel like Taika Waititi kind of like upped the game a little bit there for
those compositions. I'm not sure if we'll ever see anything like that again.
Not unless he makes another movie with them. Whatever he decides to do next, maybe he'll get the resources to create something like that.
300 style that shit.
Yeah, it's ridiculous looking. The live action paintings he created. Coogler didn't really. He did a lot of things great. He really didn't establish too many huge wide shots like that outside of like establishing like the city shots. You know, your typical.
City shots were cool.
They're cool. Typical master shots are very cool, obviously. But it's good. It's good. I'm looking forward to seeing what he does next.
No, definitely.
Looking forward to seeing next Black Panther, and obviously him and several characters will be in the Avengers movies.
Well, yeah.
So that'd be cool.
That we know.
They also showed the Ant-Man and the Wasp trailer. That looks fun. Looks fun.
You know, I'm really into this whole Michael Douglas, Paul Rudd thing.
Yeah.
That they got going on.
I'm glad that they got Michael Douglas back. He wasn't a sure thing.
He's an old man.
And they only signed him for one movie at a time.
Well, and that's because he's kind of dying. Like,
he had the cancer scare. That's what I'm saying. But he got over that though.
He goes through the bout. Well, he's an old man. If he gets sick, he gets sick.
Yeah, sure.
So
yeah, sure. But yeah, that makes sense. You can still sign him to a deal. If he dies, he dies. Doesn't mean you have to keep paying him when he's dead. It wasn't sure if he was going to come back necessarily, but they got him back, which is great. And the trailer shows like a lot of the old big small gags. A lot of big small gags.
But it's been a while since that's been done.
Since what?
It's been done well.
It's been done
and it
well.
And it looks like it's gonna have a lot of fun with it.
It's been fun. It's been a while.
Stab you in the throat.
Since true. Stab you. No Avengers trailer, which is interesting. But they did do the old, they show Bucky Barnes real quick at the end credits. Spoiler alert, we didn't stay for the end credits. I read it online.
The mid-end credits, though.
The mid-credits.
That speech to the UN was pretty fucking epic.
They just summed up the movie. It just sums up the movie. The whole movie. Right? Yeah. Like, we're going to wrap it up eloquently.
Pretty much.
What if Obama was going to wrap up this movie in 45 seconds? Here we go. That's this.
Yeah.
That didn't have to be a mid-credits thing. That should have been like...
It should have been the end of the movie.
This is how we are ending our movie, directed by Ryan Coogler, like right after that speech. And then that dude's like, well, we're going to learn from a bunch of farmers. Cut to everyone, like, wry smiles. Martin Freeman, like, beaming in the back. Like,
you silly fucks. You have no idea.
I like ending with him, like... When it ended with the kid being like, who are you? And then it cuts to them. That's always a strong way to end it. But then that scene pops up. This is a good scene, too. You can't have both. You gotta pick one or the other. You can't have both. They tried to have both. And then see, now where are you gonna fit Howard the Duck in your post-credit scene? Now you have no room for Howard the Duck.
Nope.
Or Samuel Jackson with an eye patch.
I was about to say, I almost thought Samuel L. Jackson was just gonna pop up eventually and just be like, yo!
Is he in Avengers? I don't think he's in Avengers.
I think he's done.
He's not done. You know why he's not done? Because he's going to play a 90s version of himself in Captain Marvel. Because Captain Marvel takes place in the 90s. Yes. Captain Marvel takes place in the 90s, and it goes out between Avengers movies, and then she will be in Avengers 4. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Something about time travel, I believe. I don't know.
There have been so many Captain Marvels.
Well, this is the sexy lady one.
No, exactly.
Which I'm fine with.
Yeah.
All right. Black Panther was great.
It was fantastic.
We really enjoyed it.
Yep.
A lot. A lot. So, we didn't get... Oh, yeah, the pork skewers are really good. The cube.
Oh, yeah. The yogurt.
Yeah.
The short ribs, the tomato jam.
Come on, how good were those short ribs? I'm going back. I'm like two orders of the short ribs just for me. That would be 8 pieces of bread and pork with the jam
and the cheese.
That's good enough, right?
Sure.
I'll go on a happy hour.
Get some more on the hand.
Guys, if you want to donate to our braised pork ribs research endeavors, is a charity that you can write out to. It's a 501c that I am currently working on. It will be filed in 2020. You can email us for wiring instructions at braisedporkribsfordrew@christakesyourmoney.com. Drew, do you want to plug anything at the end here?
No, I'm good.
All right. We're done. We're good here, guys. This is going to be up at some time. Maybe not tonight. It's late. Okay.
A PFT Media production.